does feel good to be hanging out with good people. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez. Joining me in studio is Todd Belcore, the Executive Director for Social Change. What other titles would you like me to make sure I read?
I'm gonna, because of you
and some other guests, I'm going to start putting an index card at my guests' seats so they can write down what they want me to say about them. Because they always tease me when I forget how to introduce them.
No, you've been perfect. I mean, 2018 was a little rougher year.
We had a lot more titles, awesome. Like associate professor at Northwestern and the University of Chicago. You were doing all kinds of things all over the city and all over the country. You were traveling back and forth to Missouri. I know you've been traveling around the world, been very busy.
Thank you.
We want to make sure we honor what you do. As we want to honor what Scott Santa says for the Chicago Tribune, editorial cartoonist, member of the editorial board, and a regular contributor here at WGN Radio, as well as the Mincing Rascals. Joining us in studio right now is John O'Malley, former U.S. Deputy Marshal for the Northern District. Is that right, Deputy Chief, right?
Yeah, whatever.
It's not whatever. I'm getting him an index card.
We're not talking about guns or anything tonight.
He messaged me and said, hey, I am part of this incredible organization, Sky Art. You must meet Sarah Ward. And as John O'Malley asked, and as he's, again, a regular contributor here, not just at WGN, but also on WGN TV, he said, you got to meet Sarah. And if he says, he sent you, Sarah, is what I'm saying. You're somebody he sent. Tell us about Sky Art and how you are encouraging and inspiring children to get in there, roll up their sleeves, and have fun with their imagination.
It's so simple, just being there for kids and being in the neighborhood has allowed all the kids and all the kids on the South Side to kind of embrace a space that can provide warmth and love and food and art.
Right.
And just the staying power of it has changed a lot of lives, I think.
And what inspired you to get involved and to start this in the community that you've built this?
They found me. I was at juvenile court doing art therapy with kids on probation and in the abuse neglect side of court. And I noticed when I went to a home and took a kid out and they were on probation. They had six sisters and brothers sitting there wanting to do art with me, too. And I say, you can't be with me because they hadn't committed a crime. And I felt like it was I wasn't modeling very good behavior for the future kids.
You wanted to be able to embrace them.
Yeah. So I just wanted to be in a neighborhood, be a stable person for them. And someone found me because I was talking out loud about my dream, and it came to be in 2001.
That's really
congratulations.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Where is your work housed?
Mm-hmm. 91st Street in Houston. And so it's right under the Skyway.
Wow.
So it's as far southeast as you can go in the city.
For people who aren't
but
from
we're
here,
all
that's,
over
that's
the
that's
south
real
side.
South.
Yeah,
that's not Roosevelt
east.
Road.
Yeah. People don't even know it's there.
Yeah.
They say it's South Chicago, and they think I'm talking about the South Side, but it's actually the name of the neighborhood.
That's right.
Yeah.
What's the name of the neighborhood?
South Chicago.
South Chicago.
South Chicago
yeah.
is a neighborhood.
It's
yes.
a neighborhood in Chicago.
I would not have known that. Excellent. Like, what are the neighborhoods that are also served? I mean, because it's not just
well, it's the largest ward in the city. It's a 10th ward. It is so it's where the steel mills were,
mm-hmm.
Which is as large as the loop, where the USX steel site was, that spans from 79th to 95th Street,
okay,
and then from the lake all the way to Mackinac. So it's Millgate, which the gates of the mill, and the Slag Valley, East Side, Hegwisch, and the Bush.
Wow.
All in South Chicago.
And John, how did you get involved with Sky Art?
Well, I'm very artistic in nature. No, I was at a mutual friend of Sarah and myself's, Barb, at a like summer cocktail thing, I think. And just chatting, and the conversation always comes up, you know, what do you do? What do you do? And Sarah was telling me what she did, and at the time I was still active in law enforcement, and she really caught my attention because I've heard of so many programs over the years, this, that, and the other, that help kids, and I've never heard what she was describing, really. So I had to investigate. I had to investigate Sarah.
Yes.
And then I investigated Sky Art, and I was, how do I get involved, right?
Yeah.
Because, you know, much like Sarah's her earlier career, I saw kids and young adults and then very naughty grown-ups who were on the wrong side of the law. And my whole time in law enforcement, every time I came across a bad guy, I thought to myself, if I came from where a lot of these guys came from, knowing my naughty nature, I know I would be probably on the wrong side of the law. So how do we, when these kids come to that crossroads, how do we keep them on, you know, a positive path? And Sarah's being pretty modest because the things that they are doing at SkyArt, I know a little bit of, and it's unbelievable. It's gone from just doing art to learning how to cook and what good foods to eat and expressing yourself in so many different ways that it's incredible, and everyone should know about it.
Thanks, John.
I love that. And Scott, if you get a chance to watch the video, it's available on YouTube. It's in the link in the email that I sent you. But
okay.
But I was watching one young man drawing on an iPad, which reminded me of the way that you now sketch. He does the cartoon to the Chicago Tribune right on an iPad, and it's amazing how much technology really transforms the way we can also express ourselves too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I love that.
And what I love what Sarah says is they're not teaching art. Really? And Sarah, please slap me, throw your cup at me. They're not teaching the kids, like, here's how you should draw. It's just express yourself, and everyone has a chance to come there, and it's free, and it's started, Sarah, right? Just maybe something to do after school, and now the program has just gone crazy, so...
And everyone can go to skyart.org, and there's on the menu you can click on how to get involved, whether it's donating your resources, time, or money, and you know, finding out more about how to sponsor an event, maybe underwrite a program.
Yes.
You know, get involved. And because people are always talking about the problems of the city, and they're always saying what needs to be done, and here's a way to fundamentally get involved and have you know, an impact on a young person's life.
What age kids do you work with?
So we work with just the Head Start programs all the way to 24 years old. We also do like collaborative programs with senior citizens. It depends. I'm an art therapist, so that means I'm a therapist with I communicate through creative, you know, expressions. And so when I supervise master's level interns, and so if they want to work with the senior citizens and do partnerships with the children in the neighborhood, we do that. So there's no real age that we don't work with, but generally we focus on 7 to 24 year olds. Mm-hmm. We have an amazing team program on the weekends called Project Third Space, where we make a home cooked meal for them, which I'm making this Saturday, and feeding 33 of them, and we eat on plates and forks, not, you know, paper. Right. And they eat everything we make for them. It's kind of amazing what a privileged kid would say no to.
Right.
They have open arms and they're excited to try all sorts of new foods and just to be loved. And it's a really, really beautiful space. And it is, just to say, this is the only free art program, year-round art program in the city of Chicago, where on any given day a child can show up at the door and we'll let them in. And that's pretty amazing. And we're on the far southeast side. We're in a neighborhood nobody knows about. So
How many kids do you have?
Well, we serve 1,200 kids in the school a week. And then we serve about 50 a day at Sky Art Studios. And then we're at the DeSable Museum. We were at the Juvenile Detention Center. We're all over the city doing kind of programs where we're needed.
And the gentleman to your right, Sarah, he doesn't remember, but last time I was here, he's going to come by and talk about to the kids what he does.
Yeah, I volunteered.
Wait, is this a call out?
No.
I think that's actually how we got to talking about this when I met you, Scott, and Art, and I said, hey, would you come to
the Sky Art Center? I said yes, and then you never set up a time.
Well, here she is, the boss, the CEO, the president.
Okay. No, there's nothing better, honest to God, there's nothing better than talking to kids, and by kids, I mean up to, and including adults, really. It's when you start drawing and using that, and just you have a blank piece of paper or a couple of pencils or pens, and you just are, okay, what do you think about this? What do you think about this story? What happens now? What do you think this could be? Oh my God. And it just becomes this wonderful adventure.
Yeah. Opening up their world. Opening up everyone's world.
Further. Absolutely.
You're talking about a population of people who are invisible to the larger society. So this is oftentimes the first time they can articulate what they're actually dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So it may sound like, oh, just scribbling on a piece of paper or just some like, you know, unrefined sort of expression of art. But actually, it's people putting their heart and their soul through paper on canvas and expressing in a way that they've never been afforded the opportunity to express it previously. So I don't think we can really overestimate the value this has, because in many ways this is people putting their testimony in writing or in script or in paint, and it gives them a level of freedom and expression that they would otherwise never ever have. So this is such an invaluable program, and I'm really grateful that you all are putting it on.
And then acting, right, Sarah, or I don't know what you want to call it, acting, but you can explain better of expressing themselves and making the costumes and all those things that they're doing. So it's just outside, you know, just doing, you know, artwork or things of that nature. So many things have expanded. Sarah had envisioned, some kids would say, well, I'd love to come, but I can't walk those 5 blocks
right.
to get to the center because
it's territory.
It's dangerous.
Yeah.
So, you know, Sarah said, what about, you know, if we bought a van, like a 15-passenger van, like, you know, those vans you see that take people to the airport yeah. type. And we made it happen, right? And now that van there to get the kids who can't walk there maybe just a little bit further. And, you know, somebody in the room may know the mayor and may have mentioned what great things Skyer is doing. And,
oh, you mean because she called this show?
And
she's celebrating?
Can do.
Oh, wait.
Yes, because Patty's friend.
Yes, because you encourage her to do so.
So I am, Sarah, working very hard to get Mayor Lightfoot out to Skyer. I want her to see in person what wonderful things are happening. But I also told her I don't want the city to come in and ruin it because, right? But there's such potential to expand this to Humble Park or to, you know, other areas of the city that are also just so thirsty for programs like this. And, you know, we always talk about our board meetings about being not to grow too fast and lose focus and lose the grasp on what a great program Sarah has built from a little tiny storefront to this dry cleaner. She had the vision to look at this rundown, vacant dry cleaner, said, yeah, that would be a great, I mean, if you saw what it looked like before. There's a video on YouTube about that too, but who would envision that this dilapidated dry cleaners would turn into what she's made it? It's unbelievable.
It's incredible, Sarah.
Yeah,
it's,
and when you say the city ruining something.
Well, I'm being a little facetious.
Let me take a break here and let's talk about the good things. I also want to talk about there was a study that, and the results came out today, or at least some information about what the life expectancy is in Streeterville as opposed to someplace like Englewood or the community that you're serving. And let's talk a little bit about that and the impact that you can have with helping these kids live longer, healthier, and happier mm-hmm. lives. More after this. We're hanging out with Sarah Ward and John O'Malley from Sky. Well, Sarah Ward from Sky Art. And you're on the board of directors, John?
Yes.
And you can go to skyart.org to find out how you can participate, donate your time, your resources, maybe sponsor a program. Todd Belcour, the executive director of Social Change, joins us, as well as Scott Stantis, the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. And we'll be mincing tomorrow on the Mincing Rascals, which will be available shortly thereafter. And then David Hochberg's right at the window, ready to take your questions at 11:40. He's writing down his notes. Look at how serious he looks. He doesn't even know we're talking about him. More after this on 720.
We're angry.
I know, right? It's very serious. The show started every time we come back from a break. Ashley, you can't play fun music that we just want to dance to.
And please tell me, Patty, you know who that is.
Cool in the Gang?
Michael
Was that Michael Jackson? Was that Michael Jackson? I have mentally, after watching Leaving Neverland, I've mentally blocked out everything he's ever done.
Oh my God.
But for what it's worth, you also have difficulty historically in naming music.
So. Yes. It's true. I also
That's
don't.
Why I asked. She's terrible.
I have appalling lack of musical knowledge.
Difficulty, not terrible.
Let's call it challenge.
It's appalling. It's appalling. The way people react when I don't know a song, they're appalled.
She's the gold standard in not naming music.
I had a friend, Lenny Schmidt, he's a comedian, and we were in an Uber, and there was some music from the 80s, and I go, who sings this? And he goes, you're kidding, right? And this Uber driver started playing along, he started fast-forwarding through all these 80s songs. Lenny almost threw himself out of a moving car. He couldn't believe how bad it was. He was so appalled. So it's all right. I don't mind. But is music one of the things that you guys share with the kids at SkyArt? We're talking to Sarah Ward, who created SkyArt to help kids in a disadvantaged part of the city. And ignored, as Todd mentioned, a place where the kids are invisible to the community in many ways. Is music part of the program?
Well, we definitely hire teachers with multidisciplinary practices. We have a teacher that was a graffiti artist, a musician, and what else does he? He's a cook. And so any studio that they can go into,
sure.
We allow them to do that. What we do, we don't sit a child down. They've been in school all day long. We don't sit them down and say, these are the primary colors. We say, hey, we're going to be in this studio, and it's about creating, and they learn through creating. So it's process-based learning as opposed to product-based learning. And so if a teacher says, I'm into music and the kids are too, then they can create music in our digital lab.
Oh, that's wonderful. And it's great to have really access to that. John O'Malley joins us as well. He's a former deputy chief of the Northern District for the U.S. Marshals. Scott Stantis, the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. And Todd Belcour, who is the executive director for Social Change. And I have to imagine, we've talked a lot about, we talk obviously about the headlines and the whether it's violence or the rate of drug use and illegal behavior and things like that. And one of the issues that seems to come up a lot is conflict resolution is something that isn't necessarily taught. And in communities where maybe the parents are working or there's a lot of other stress going on in their lives, conflict resolution is one of the problems that people have in the most disadvantaged neighborhoods. Wouldn't you say, Todd?
I think that's something that's not being taught across the board. I just think when you deal with so many more stressors, you're more likely to break and get frustrated and react in particular circumstances. I mean, just yesterday in the NBA finals, a guy pushed an NBA player and ended up getting tossed from the arena, and he's an investor in the Golden State Warriors. He's a multimillionaire. He doesn't know how to deal with conflict. So imagine what it's like if you're dealing with aggressions and mistreatment and abuse and trauma day to day. And you're dealing with all these difficult things. And, of course, you're expected to act like a model citizen. So Officer O'Malley mentioned it earlier. It's just like, if I was dealing with these same circumstances, how likely would I be to always be acting as an orderly, do-as-you're-told sort of citizen when you have very few instances where you're allowed to do exactly what you want?
And that's where Sky Art comes into play, right? Which is play. Right, which is expression.
And a lot of what we do, too, is collaboration. And so conflict comes up in collaboration across the board, right?
Yes,
and so part of our model is really inspiring the kids to work together.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's interesting about South Chicago, I came from New York City in the early 90s, moved here, and it was very obvious and still is how segregated our city is. New York is block by block. Here, it's a totally different issue. And South Chicago's black and brown, which is odd for a neighborhood. It's poor, but it has diversity.
Mm-hmm.
But that means block by block, they're different gangs. And at Sky Art, we have a racial mix, the same racial mix of the neighborhood, which is 60% brown and 30% black.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the mix in there. So they're meeting each other for the first time. They're collaborating. They're communicating. Because even when you go into the school system, they're segregated within the school systems as well.
Because of the schools, depending on what block they live on.
No, you go into a school and it could be a mixed school, but they'll be segregated in the classroom and they'll say, well, the brown kids speak Spanish. And I know the kids in the class don't speak Spanish. It's about discipline. It's about, it depends on the principal, but I've seen it in the school systems as well.
So the way that they divide the kids up is based on racial...
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I was not aware of that. I mean,
yeah. Well, Chicago, mostly you go into a neighborhood and it's all one race, so you don't see it unless you go into a mixed neighborhood, and then you go into the classrooms and see it.
Right. Yeah. And the thing is that it's hard to explain to folks when you go to a school and you're kind of the one that's different, or wanting to fit in with everybody. So when you have it in a situation where everybody, is divided from each other, then when you come into an area where you can play together, that's got to be significant for all of them.
Yeah, and they play so, they just get to know each other, and we do food too. So we'll do salsa and, or we'll do collard greens, and everybody will eat culturally different foods, and they'll be like, this is really good. And it's really exciting. Like, food brings everybody together. We have a 4-city lot garden with 30 fruit trees in it down the block. And I mean, we created that garden in 2003 because I thought, we want to bring the kids out and have them be inspired, like all artists are, by their environment. And all I saw was trash. So I was like, let's plant a garden. Yeah. And we got 4-city lots for $1 back when Daley was mayor.
Sure.
I almost said president. back when Daley was mayor. And we didn't even pay the dollar, but we got them.
Right.
And there're 30 fruit trees there. It's like a magical space.
I
magical.
Love that.
And we draw and we paint, and we sculpt and we sow seeds and we harvest and we cook.
Let's take a break here and learn more about the magical space that Sarah Ward and her board of directors and everybody involved with Sky Art have created on the east side. So it's South Chicago on the east side. That's what I've been texted.
3,000 East.
3,000 yeah. East. Over by there. More in a moment.
Well said.
Oh, I missed the button. Everyone's very excited in the studio that I was able to name the artist. However, I cannot name the song. Prince, just because of the tone of the music and that little I don't know what that was.
It was even getting erotic.
A little bit of flavor.
It's there. Erotic City, isn't it?
Yes.
It is. All right, officer, I see you over there.
I
saw the way
up.
Your energy changed
up.
When the song came
I
on. I was like, okay, O'Malley.
I know what's up.
So is that what you were listening to in your Crown Vic? Is that what you were listening to?
Oh, wow.
I used to drive a Tahoe, man. Chevy Tahoe.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize, sir. Actually, you were telling Scott Santos and I some wild stories about your days in serving with the U.S. Marshals, which I know are not for air, so we'll someday.
I don't know anything about that.
I know.
They're at for 1:01 a.m.
That's right. Exactly. In my office, there's a bottle.
And I always say they're 70% true, 30% color.
Well, they sounded pretty good. That's John O'Malley, former deputy chief of the Northern District of the U.S. Marshals. Sarah Ward, who has created an incredible and, as she described it, magical space for kids on the east side in South Chicago. It's Sky Art. You can go to skyart.org to find out more information about how you can participate, donate, volunteer, maybe sponsor a program. We have Todd Belcour, who is the executive director for Social Change. Scott Santos is trapped in a conversation with David Hochberg outside the studio. He is the editorial cartoonist for the Chicago Tribune. And Sarah, you were mentioning that you are you originally from Chicago?
No,
from New York
no.
is what you're saying. Yeah.
I'm from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Oh,
and then went to San Francisco for college and went to New York to work in the public schools, and then came here for my master's.
Did you say you started Sky Art in 2001?
Yeah,
so it's 18 years ago. Yeah. You don't look old enough to do all right. the things that you said before. Aww. That.
That's sweet.
But seriously, fact, but. People say I look young, but you look, I mean, you look like you're in your late 20s, early 30s is all I'm saying. So at any rate,
double
you don't have to go,
it and add 10.
We don't have to go into anything besides that. So you studied in San Francisco.
Yeah.
Went to school.
Yeah.
And you know, what did you set out in life to do? What was the plan?
Advertising, because that was acceptable.
Yes.
Right? So I think a lot of when you tell your parents you want to be an artist, they're like, oh, you know, I'm not going to pay for that. So I was like, well, I'll do art direction and advertising. And then my senior year in college, I saw all the trash in the street, and I saw all the women in San Francisco walking around in their Chanel bags and their BMWs, and realized I'm going to participate in making people feel insecure,
right?
And trash in the world. And this was in '89, and wow. So I transferred, changed my major to a bachelor degree of fine arts, graduated as a printmaker, moved to New York City to teach children in the Lower East Side.
You brought up something interesting, which is making people feel insecure. I was dating a boy in college. Let's call him Tom because that was his name. Daniels. And we got into an argument one time.
First and last name.
It's the joke that never stops giving. And here's the thing. Tom would have a good sense of humor about all of this. Besides, he and his wife just bought a $2.75 million house in Scottsdale, Arizona. He's fine, everybody. But he and I got into an argument about advertising and bulimia and anorexia, and sort of reinforcing this idea of what the ideal woman is or what you should look like. And his take was, you know, it's not advertising's fault. It's, you know, if somebody's insecure, that's their own, it's their own problem. And my idea was that, but we keep perpetuating it. We keep, you know, glamorizing something that isn't necessarily attainable. And you were just talking about whether it's wealth or these, you know, these products. right?
Yeah, and I think that when you're young, I mean, obviously, you don't have a strong sense of self yet.
Right.
And so that's when that advertising starts penetrating your psyche, saying, like, if you have this lipstick, or, I mean, even the doll study with, like, a black doll and a white doll, like, which doll do you like? I mean, it's like, it's set in our, you know, eyes since we were little children, what is better for us constantly, you know? And so you're drawn to things, especially advertising, because it's, especially with Instagram these days and how kids are connected all the time,
yeah,
that they just, they feel like less because they don't have half the things that are being thrown at them.
I hesitate sometimes. I've been pulling, like, I did a lot of selfies. As we know, I did something called selfish selfies. And one of the things that I was enjoying when I would do that was I was surprised at how much better I was feeling about myself, kind of controlling the way I do those, right? I can do a different angle. But I realized I am putting out this image of my, you know, putting out this, like, best image, whether it's the filters or the makeup. You know, I'm getting older and I have kids. But it is hard to be honest in social media, and obviously in advertising, people, you know, aren't necessarily honest. That was what I thought was fairly successful with the Dove campaign.
Yeah,
was when they had women of all different ages and sizes, you know, and I thought that was a cool way to sort of approach saying we run the gamut of sizes, shapes, colors, all those things.
Right, and I think that actually in advertising these days, it's not when I was young where it was a large company owning it. You can go on Instagram and someone can sponsor or promote a product, and they become famous for doing that, and they're just a regular person.
Exactly. Yeah. How are you able to bring in the, you know, communities outside of the East Side, outside of South Chicago, in order to, you know, because there is this disconnect when it comes to the segregated nature of our city.
Well, we have the van, so yes, we pick up kids. We also just go into like neighborhoods. So I am eyeballing a firehouse across from, it's on Kedzie and Grand. It's across from the new Daily, I guess it's new, library. And I'm eyeballing that space. It's a firehouse, which is always perfect when you're across from a library, because libraries in communities are, they're community centers. They're the place where you get warm, the place where you get cool, they're the place where you get the internet, sometimes where you use the bathroom. I mean, it's like libraries are big. And it's across the street, and you can get those places for a dollar. So I got to find out. I'm looking into that, but we're looking into Garfield Park and Humble Park.
Yes.
Because we noticed when we were in the detention center that what happens when the kids get out? We're not in the neighborhoods they live in, right? So South Chicago is one, but it's hard to move around on the south side. It's hard to move around on the west side. And so we want to be in different neighborhoods. So we move around. And also we're in tons of schools. So we reach kids through the school system. But we really want to be there after school, because that's the most important, crucial time for them.
Of course.
You know?
We are talking to Sarah Ward, who created Sky Art. You can go to skyart.org. She was introduced to our show by John O'Malley, regular contributor here at WGN Radio and WGN TV. He is a former deputy chief for the U.S. Marshals in the Northern District. And Scott, you and I are, and Todd, I want to find out a way to get more involved, because this is really, you know, we keep talking about we need to come up with solutions, and you know, it's time to stop talking and doing. And that's what you've decided to really jump in there with.
She does. That's for sure.
Yeah. I absolutely love that. Let's take a break here. We'll come back and continue our conversation on 720 WGN. You're listening to The Patty Vasquez Show, and I'm so happy you're here. Yeah, I would never guess Tina something or another. What would you say, Scott? Tina Marie and
Square Biz.
Square Biz.
You know, my mom almost named me Scott. You'd be surprised how many people call me Scott without knowing my name. It's
really
crazy. Yeah.
It's those single syllable names, I think, is what it is.
You seem like a Scott. You could be a Scott.
Well, we have.
I'm not swole enough to be a Scott.
Yeah, you're pretty swole.
That's Scott Santis, the editorial cartoonist of the Chicago Tribune and the regular contributor here at WGN Radio.
Need to see, fellas, ladies, gentlemen, is ripped all the way from top to bottom.
He just. No way. By the way, Todd Belcore, the executive director for Social Change. We have John O'Malley, who is former U.S. Marshal, who was the deputy chief of the Northern District, and Sarah Ward, who has created a magical and incredible place for kids to express themselves at Sky Art. You can go to skyart.org. To that, Todd, and you can tell I've been in Springfield too, to the bill. to that, Scott just hiked from rim to rim of the Grand Canyon.
I did.
Wow. Is that right?
What? Yeah.
Yes.
How many miles is that?
All the miles. 20,
every one of them. Yeah, 24.
Jeez, is this hiking marathons out here?
Yeah.
That's we walked it.
Yes,
it took
but still.
A long time.
Well, but how long?
It took 15 hours.
Wow. Yeah, that's a hike.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're talking about up and down. It's not just like walking down the street.
That's right.
Well, it's down and across. That was the easy part. And then that the last 9.5 are up. And that's the part that sucked.
Look at Ash is like, what? Yeah, he walked 15 hours.
Does everyone know how you minimized all that?
Yeah, so you're in good shape. We got to do some stair climbing.
Okay.
I've been trying to get back in shape. By the way, this is really my happy thought for tonight, Patty. 6 hours of you. I finished last night's show just before tonight's show. Last night was so much fun, too. We had Steve and Johnny were on last night. You know, WGN is celebrating 95 years.
That's unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy? And I got to be here for six of that, 5 years full time. I don't even know how that happened. Sarah, we were talking about your career and how you had intended to go into advertising and really looked around and said, you know, there's something else I could be doing. Not everybody takes a step back and is capable of that sort of presence. How do you, do you remember what it was? I mean, it was just an aha moment for you to make that change?
I have so many of those, and it's like my secret talent to create aha moments with teens. So if you got a teen that doesn't know what she wants, send them my way.
Okay.
Because I can do it.
I like that.
I'm really good at figuring out like those pathways. You know, when you get a job and you're like, don't like that, next job, want the like. And then you just kind of, you move up that ladder and just keep all the things you like as you progress. Mm-hmm. And when I was working in New York, I was teaching kids in the Lower East Side. I was two professional artist assistants. I was a bartender. I worked at a dress shop. I did everything. But I also just realized this is, the things I liked about my job teaching kids and being an assistant. And then I knew I wanted to go into art therapy because I saw, like, I wanted psychology and art, and I wanted it to be more rigorous, and I never wanted to be an artist. I always wanted to teach people. I just didn't want to really teach art. I wanted to teach people to be better people.
It's like that idea of teach someone how to fish, give someone a fish, and they won't go hungry, but teach them how to fish.
That's cute.
They'll never starve. I can't remember what it is.
Second only to Patty's inability to name music.
There's so many
It's not even that. I you're right. I do it all the time. So I'm like no bars teaching. Held, no holds bar.
This is like a George W. Bush moment. This is amazing.
Something
like,
about fish.
It comes out like a word scramble.
Four
you're like,
four.
Is this a riddle? What are we doing here?
I do that too. Jumble. I do.
Fishing, I'll get there eventually. Teaching. Hey, if you knew what I was talking about, we're halfway there.
All right. We all know what you're talking about.
My favorite quote is, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Does anyone know who said that?
Mike Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
It's on my wall at work.
Oh, man. Sarah, why Chicago? What led you here? From St. Paul to San Francisco, then New York, and then Chicago?
So it's close to home, and it's a city. I like big cities. Yeah. I like the Midwest. I mean, honestly, New York, I never went to my friends' houses. We always met out. And I like being in people's spaces. I don't know if it's because I'm nosy or just like it feels
what's
homey.
That? What's up with that?
I like that.
I just love that.
Great,
and
are you nosy?
Get it here. I am kind of.
Do you open
like,
the medicine
I like
cabinet?
People's... Oh, yeah, of course. I just love seeing people's style and sitting in their spaces as opposed to at a bar down the street from their house because their floor tilts, friends did.
I have to get someone to clean my house and invite you over. Well, no, because my husband and I set out in life to be more social. We when we registered for our wedding, we got enough plates so we could have guests over, and we got a big table. And then, you know, things happen where we had kids and you know, I have a child with special needs. So it's just one of those things where our life isn't quite what we planned, but we adjust. And it sounds like you set out to do one thing and you let, you know, you kind of go, okay, well, this isn't quite what I thought, and I'll make what I need to have happen.
Yeah.
Next. Yeah.
Well, I think that everybody can do, I don't know if that's Pollyanna, but I really think that you can make your future happen. You just have to have someone help you do it.
When you made these decisions, were you all in? I mean, like when you thought, I want to go into art therapy, you just quit everything else and focused on that?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I didn't know NYU didn't have it because I think New York had so many connections. And then I found the Rush Medical Center and the School of the Art Institute had a cooperative program, and I thought that that's cool. I get to go to medical school and go to art school. I'm in.
Yeah.
And so I came here, but then I didn't realize that, you know, when you get a master's in a certain place, your resume really grounds you there. So I worked at the juvenile court with sexually abused victims for a year, and that gave me a lot of connections and ended up creating the art therapy position there at the probation department, which was the first in the country, by the way, that I started there. And that the resume I got here, I wouldn't translate to New York or San Francisco. So I was stuck, and here I am.
And the fact that you were able to stay grounded in a situation where you see so many kids who are having the worst day of their lives, you know, I mean, in particular when it comes to violence, sexual violence, I mean, a lot of kids aren't able to articulate or even know what happened. And to help them guide, you know, to help guide them through that is so incredible.
Yeah, it's nice to be. I mean, I think that's a lot about the staying power too, because I have so many kids that come back and say, "Oh, you're still here," and I'm like, "Oh my God, I am." But it's really nice too. It's really nice.
Yes,
like they can
is.
Come in, and it's like the attrition rate for teachers in the school by me is 42%. That means a kid has like more than four teachers in a course of a school year.
Wow.
And the average household moves twice a year, so being a stable presence in their life is therapeutic in its own right. So having them be able to come in, I have kids come in and talk to me all the time. I mean, and just unload. I have that thing about me too that people tell me things. And it's really beautiful. It makes me feel really honored and special to think that I can provide that for them and be there.
You've built a relationship with John O'Malley, who's in law enforcement. Do you have other individuals from? Because cynicism seems to be a go-to for a lot of people, regardless of what they do for a living. Are you able to build a relationship with the law enforcement community at SkyArt?
You know, it's funny. When I started in South Chicago, the kids used to drive down the street and shoot guns in the air like it was the Wild West. And I was like, wow. And this was when all the housing projects were up in Chicago. So this was, you know, and I'd gone into almost all of them when I was a probation officer and an art therapist. And I was like, this is a different neighborhood. It felt different. It felt like the police weren't present in it. And they still, like, the cops will come in sometimes, but no, I'm just there for the kids,
right?
Honestly. Right. And if they need help, I mean, obviously we're mandated reporters and we have to call, you know, when we think the kids are in danger.
Right.
But it's a beautiful situation. John actually had proposed for some kind of relationship to build, or mentorship, or even just an inspiration to say, like, here's a person that looks like you and this is the
what
kind of
do.
Position
yeah.
they have. And
yeah.
Exposing them to that, like, an artist isn't sitting in front of a canvas. An artist could be a person who's doing lighting at the Lyric Opera.
They're living.
It could be a person who is a police officer and is a photographer, or, you know, whatever it is that there's a myriad of opportunities within the arts.
Yeah. I mean, law enforcement gets that, pigeonholed into that. No one ever believes me when I tell them that I belong to this. People, you okay, O'Malley? I'm like, no, seriously. It's like, look it up. It's a great program. We just did a thing on the north side at Arts on Elston over by Albany Park area. A friend of mine has a little studio there and brought people over there just to kind of, it was really eye-opener for some people. It was great. Really
that's why
great.
It's so important to have someone like you on the board to kind of bring a different voice
to
it. So it sounds less warm and fuzzy, and it's more actual, pragmatic, and helping people really change their lives.
I saw way too close and personal what happens in, you know, Austin, Lawndale, Inglewood, South Chicago. So many neighborhoods of good, really good people. And as Sarah mentioned about her art therapy to kids, small majority of the people get all the attention from the organization I belong to. And it's like, well, but what about all the other kids and other people are trying to do the right thing and do the right thing? They get zero attention. So when she told me what she did, I was like, wow, this sounds like a really, what can I do to find more about it? So
yeah,
that's awesome.
Well, I want to thank you, John O'Malley, for introducing us to Sarah Ward. Sarah Ward, thank you for all the great work that you do, and look forward to hearing more and having you on the show again. Whatever you need, we're here for you.
Love to.
As much
yeah,
as
yeah, get WGN
you.
Involved and check out the Facebook page yep. and the position that's open for.
Oh, that's right. There's yeah. some jobs that are open as well.
Yes.
And
yep.
Everyone can go to skyart.org too yep. to find out how to get involved. Yeah. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Patty, thank you so much.
Pleasure. Of course, my pleasure. Quick break. Oh, you were wonderful. Quick break and then the news on 720 WGN.